Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is recorded in our gospel lesson, these words of Jesus, but Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. Is it safe to go in the water? Water, although it's necessary for life, can be very dangerous. People drown in lakes, ponds, rivers, pools, and even bathtubs. Storms can sink ships on the seas. Noah and his family floated safely in the ark while the rest of the world was washed away. Moses and Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground while the pursuing Egyptian army was obliterated by the same water. So what were the people of Israel thinking when John invited them out into the wilderness to be baptized in the River Jordan? Was that water safe? Of course, the Jordan River was nothing in size compared to the Red Sea or the flood that God sent upon the earth, but still, was that water safe? Jesus descended into that water that had been polluted by the sins of all those people. Is it safe? Is it safe for Jesus? What had been washed into that water would cling to Jesus when he climbed out of the river onto the bank. Was the water safe? It wasn't for Jesus. All those sins to whom John had preached, and the sins of countless others, and we could even throw in your sins and my sins, all those sins would remain on Jesus. They would cling to him. And the result was that he would suffer the punishment that was meant for all those people. He would suffer the punishment that was meant for us. The water of the Jordan River would kill him, just as the water of the flood killed the world, with the exception of Noah and his family. If Jesus did not go down into that water to be baptized by John, then all righteousness would not be fulfilled. God would not be pleased. There would no longer be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We have many questions, and we need reassurance. Is the water safe? Will we drown? Jesus, are you there when we need you? Or are you asleep, as many claim? Are you going to let us die? Listen to these words from Psalm 69. We hear King David plead to God, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me." David spoke those words as though they were part of his life. And indeed, quite often David found himself in situations where those words were very appropriate. Could we at times speak those words, "I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me"? Are there times when we could have cried those very same words, even though they seem to apply to King David, and we could find words there that would have meaning in our life? They most aptly describe Jesus. We do not comprehend the immensity of the sins that lay on Jesus, those sins that he gathered in the water of the Jordan River. Those words from the psalm speak of him. "I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me." And later he would speak from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But then Jesus got up out of the water. This is the same Jesus who will hush the wind and the waves. "Be still." The waves obeyed him. Remember that Jesus is the voice of creation, and the waters have always obeyed him. When he stilled the waters, the disciples asked, "Who is this? What sort of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" With his righteousness, Jesus stilled the stormy and turbulent waters. Jesus has come to make the water safe again. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth. We heard those words from our first lesson from Isaiah today. Justice. Remember that God's justice doesn't look anything like man's justice. So often man's justice looks a lot like injustice. But God's justice is focused not upon the guilty getting what they deserved. God's justice is focused on the one who took all guilt upon himself. The one is Jesus Christ. And his justice was meted out on Jesus so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Through his baptism in the water, Jesus opened up the heavens to rain down the water of heaven. And that water from heaven was God's justice, his righteousness poured out on us, the least deserving of God's justice and his righteousness. Jesus promises to lead us beside the still waters, because through him, through his taking up of the cross, he has stilled those waters for us. And what does that mean for us? Does that mean that he's given us free parking, a free pass around the troubles of life? And what about that one issue that we seem to have before us at all times? What about death and the grave? Jesus points us to Jairus' daughter, Remember, she's the one who died. And Jesus came and spoke those words over her. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Just like the only son of the widow of Nain, who Jesus brought back to life. And Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who was brought back to life. These were signs that pointed to Jesus' own resurrection when he arose from the dead. Though we still go through pain and trouble in this life, and even death itself, on the last day, Jesus will reach down and bring us up out of the grave. For believers, death is just a sleep, because Christ died our death, and death no longer has its sting. We will be raised because Christ has arisen. We drown and daily die in the waters of baptism and rise to newness of life. St. Paul writes in Romans, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In Christ, all righteousness has been fulfilled. Sins have been left behind, for Jesus has taken them all to the cross." That same water that covered the earth, the water that covered the Egyptian army, that covered Jesus in the Jordan, that same water has become new power, a new power for recreation. And so now the water is safe. The water has been cleansed. It's safe to go into the water and to remain in that water of baptism. All the sin that was in that water has been lost, never to return. That water is now life, as Luther wrote. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the water of the new creation. It turns the desert into a garden. It turns the valley of dry bones into new life. And this is the new life that is found at the heart and the core of his church. This life-giving water has formed you into a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Father looks down and sees us, washed by the water and living in the water of baptism, and he is well pleased. Yes, the new man comes forth daily and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.